You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on this Saturday morning here on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. And as a science fiction fan, it is hard to stay away from a book that begins, "The moon blew up without warning and for no apparent reason." That is how the new book by Neal Stephenson begins. It's called Seven Eves, and Neal Stephenson's joining me on the phone. Neal, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I'll begin with, there's just so much that's covered here. A science fiction epic here in Seven Eves that spans 5,000 years and really the entire solar system. It begins with our moon blowing up and separating into several distinct pieces and just goes on from there. And is such a, as I was reading, Neal, I was amazed at what a monumental undertaking this had to be as a writer. How did Seven Eves all begin?
Well, in a sense, it began when I was a kid reading, big science fiction books with, lots of adventure and rocket ships and that kind of thing, and watching the original Star Trek series on, a 12-inch black and white TV set. More recently, I started to get some ideas around this when I was thinking a little bit about the problem of space junk, space debris. There's a lot of man-made stuff orbiting around above our heads, just leftover rocket boosters and dead satellites from the space age. And every so often, two of those things will bang into each other at random and break up into smaller fragments. And there's been some concern expressed that could snowball and create a kind of chain reaction where we would get so much little junk in space, it wouldn't be safe to go up there anymore. So I decided to take that scenario and just blow it up and make it a million times bigger and turn it into a meteor shower that would inundate the surface of the Earth with hot rocks and force the people of Earth to build a space ark to escape it.
Well, you were speaking of that space junk. That's when you were working on the Blue Origin project. So you were very much into looking at that space junk as something that might be dangerous to the Blue Origin spacecraft.
Well, it was actually a brief. It was one of a lot of things that I spent, a few hours or a couple of days looking at. And it turned out not to really be all that relevant, so I didn't devote much more time to it than that. But the novelist part of my brain kind of stuck with it and started thinking about doing something with it on a fictional level.
So it takes off from there, because really I was noticing as I was reading Seven Eves that there are so many different aspects of human life and space flight that you can boil down in a tragedy like this, when the moon explodes and all life on Earth is threatened. Mankind coming together, all sorts of sociological questions that go, the technological questions as well. It seems that you folded quite a bit in to this new novel.
Well, it's a big project. The end of the world, all of the countries coming together, and so that creates some interesting challenges on the writing level. You can't encompass all of that in detail, and so you have to focus on a couple of specific characters and some specific storylines within that much larger tapestry.
I'm speaking with Neal Stephenson. His new novel is called Seven Eves. It begins with the moon blowing up and covers an epic span of time, some 5,000 years, as mankind tries to survive. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And early on, of course, the International Space Station plays a prominent role in the very beginning of the book, and I was wondering if you took this opportunity as a novelist to make some political jabs at some of the things happening in the space business in this day and age, because I read some of your sentences about the space station and at least its initial construction that were kind of calling into question exactly what was happening with that project. Did you take, as a novelist, a chance to throw some political barbs out there?
You know, in my experience, when you're reading a novel and suddenly you get that feeling that the writer is using it as a political soapbox, that book suddenly becomes way less interesting. Usually I kind of put the book down at that point, don't keep reading. So I actually tried to go the other way with it. My job is to tell stories, and so if there's politics, and there always is, then the way to handle that is to make it part of the story. And so if you've got some people who argue for the space station or against the space station, or who advocate private space exploration as opposed to government-funded space exploration, then fine, you know, put that in the story. Have people arguing in favor of both of those positions, you know, show the argument. Let the reader see what's going on, and kind of ask themselves, hey, if I were there, what position would I be taking? What would I say? What would I do?
Very interesting in the book, as you're telling the story about the folks who are on the space station, the ones who are going to survive or that might survive this meteor shower that is going to fall upon the Earth and basically make it into a hard boiling rock again. A lot of politics come in, and you look at the complexities of human nature, and it seems that you do cover all the political bases when you're looking at the characters here in Seven Eves. I suppose that in your thinking while you're writing this book, you realize there are kind of this handful of personality types that all humankind can be boiled down to. Would that be true?
You don't want to oversimplify, but at the same time, in the way this story goes, there's only a small number of people left, and so what I was aiming for was to pick some contrasting personality types within that small group. Enough to kind of create some arguments and some alliances, and make for kind of an interesting story. There's a lot of others, of course, who just get left out because there's not room.
It's fun in reading Seven Eves with the science fiction aspect of it, but I heard you recently on Science Friday with Ira Flatow talking about how, when writing, you don't take that step of many science fiction writers in creating something that can solve your problem, that all the problems that you solve or look at, the complex issues you explore in Seven Eves, are all based on science. Where did that approach to your writing and your fiction writing especially come from?
Well, readers have a pretty sensitive radar for when things don't add up, and if you make things a little too convenient, then at some level, even if they're not a technically minded person, they will often notice that and say, "Hey, wait a second." So it's okay to write a book with hyperdrive or teleportation or advanced technologies like that, as long as you use them consistently. Don't break the rules you've yourself created. In this case, I took another approach, which is, you know, it's a common thing to do in hard science fiction novels, which is to just pretty much stick with real technology and real physics that is known today. And then the characters in the book are then forced to kind of do what they do within those constraints. It creates challenges for them and hurdles that they have to overcome, and opportunities for them to show how resourceful or ingenious they can be. And to me, that kind of thing, if it's done right, can lead to a more interesting story and better character development.
A lot of science covered here. I mean, there's genetics, there's the technologies of space flight, the physics involved, and much more with developments that happen in your novel, Seven Eves. How do you keep it all straight, Neil? You know, as I went through here, granted there are a core of characters, but it was simply mind-boggling, all the threads that you chase through Seven Eves. How do you, as a writer, keep track of all that?
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. But you know, I've got a general contractor doing some work on my house, and the amount of stuff that this guy keeps straight in his head, I think probably is larger than what I have to keep track of in writing a book. You know, okay. He's got all these jobs, and each house is different, and he's got subcontractors, and Joe the plumber broke his ankle, so he can't come today, and you know, there's a million things like that that we all, no matter what we do for a living, that we all have to keep track of in our minds, or we wouldn't be able to do our jobs. And as far as that goes, I don't think that the amount of information I need to track to write a book is really that large, you know, compared to other jobs.
Tell me about in the process of writing this book, as you are, you know, keeping track of those small details, as you say, were quite easy. What was the process for sitting down and writing Seven Eves?
Well, it's a different process with each book. In this case, this was a universe and a basic story that I had been kind of working on in the background for almost 10 years, and every so often I would kind of go back to it and add a little bit more. So I had a pretty big pile of stuff that was pre-written, and I had in my head a pretty clear arc of the story and what was going to happen. So this one was relatively straightforward. It was just, okay, it's time to write this thing. Sit down, start at the beginning, keep going till you're done. There wasn't a lot of some of the more complicated things that sometimes you have to do when you're sort of making it up as you go along.
What do you hope a reader walks away with after reading Seven Eves? I was I found many things that were thought-provoking throughout the book, many instances where I question my own life's decisions. But what do you hope readers will walk away with from Seven Eves?
Well, I hope that it's an enjoyable and engaging story, and that it you know, sort of creates some ideas in people's minds of this fictional universe and what it would look like, how it would work, and that you come away saying, you know, as you just mentioned, you know, if this happened for real, if I were here, what would I do? What decisions would I make? And if I were living in the future version of the world, what would that be like?
I'm curious, you spend a lot of time with the people who are going to try to continue to live despite the disaster that is striking, but you don't spend a lot of time with what's happening on Earth. Did you decide that just was an entirely different story arc that you didn't have to worry much about as you were writing Seven Eves?
Yeah, I thought about that and ended up deciding that it's just too big and too grim, and you've got to make choices when you're writing a book. And after some consideration, the choice that I made was to stick with the characters who were going to go on, because what happens on the ground is just too big and terrible to even think about.
Well, Neil Stephenson, here on the Book Club at 91.7, we ask listeners and authors alike, what are you reading? So, Neil, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading Bleak House by Charles Dickens.
Really? And why did you decide to turn to Dickens?
Well, he's always been, for me, one of the great prose stylists of the English language. And so I wish that I had read more of his books, and Bleak House was always kind of a Mount Everest that I had never tackled before. So I read him partly for enjoyment and partly to see how a master does it, and you know, his ability to create a character and capture the essence of that character in a few sentences is an amazing thing. And a lot of what he writes is, you know, it's completely applicable and rings true even today.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure to do it.
Neil Stephenson, his new novel is Seven Eves. It's a science fiction epic that spans 5,000 years and begins with the moon blowing up. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org, and find a link to Neil's website and learn more about his work there as well. This is The Book Club at 91.7.